Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast, with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Shaman Phillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter /X at Liftoff Jets. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You can follow Shaman at GrownFolk1980. You could also read his articles every week at playlikeajet.com. And you could also find our podcast wherever you find your podcast, at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you can also find us at SportsWire Radio, which is located at sportswireradio.org. And you could also follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at ThomasBryce2017, for all the scheduling of all the other great shows that are on there. So, Sharman, we actually have a victory podcast, which I didn't think we were going to have again this year, but we actually got one.
We actually got one, man, and it was a doozy. we didn't see it coming in a lot of ways, man. But I mean, as Jets fan, we will celebrate whatever we get, man. So,
Thank you.
That one definitely hit us over the head.
It actually started the way that normally every Jet game started. This yes. year, right? The offense not doing anything. The defense mm-hmm. playing the way they've been playing all year, shutting out the other team. And then the second half. Wow. We actually scored. Yeah. How many touchdowns? Three?
Yeah. Oh, man. It's incredible to see how things could flip from week to week in the NFL, man. It's truly an any given Sunday league when they tell you, you know, how things could flip. And don't let anybody lie to you and tell you that all of a sudden the playbook was opened up and that's what freed Zach. That's not what happened. If you're watching the film, you would notice that a lot of the plays are very similar to the same plays they've been calling all season. I don't know how many times did I see four verts, you know. We complained about that call multiple times this year already. And Hackett has a love history with forwards. He keeps calling it over and over again. The difference is the Zach's, he really let it rip, man. You know, I hate going with the coach speak, but that's what it was. It is what it is. He did not overthink anything. I said this to Chris a minute ago. If you counted beats after the ball was snapped, or you counted Mississippi's after the ball was snapped, you would notice there's a trend. It was probably count the 3 to 4 beats. That's as far as you go. And the ball was out of Zach's hands. His decision-making was quick, and on his accuracy was on point. That was the thing. That separated all that this game from a lot of other games. The guys that he leaned on out the tight end, for some reason his name's been torturing me all day.
Conklin,
which guys, we've known this for a while as Jets fans that he's the better tight end in the lineup. He put on a show. He caught the ball well when he needed to. I think there was a stat I saw that put Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. I think it was Glazer on Twitter. Put it up. He said that I'll find it in a second. Bear with me for a second. I'll find it because I have it somewhere here. I know I have it somewhere. Oh man, where did I put it? But anyway, I think that there's something about between Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. They put up 200 and something yards by themselves. And that's what we're talking about. This is what I've been talking about. Garrett Wilson having over 100 yards receiving. Breece Hall has had 86 yards receiving. The star players on the Jets showed up for Zach Wilson. He let it rip. they rewarded him with making plays. On those days that Zach Wilson is on like that, he needs his supporting cast to basically help him or raise him up. And that's what they did. I know there's people out here that you know, that it's some kind of like, you know, why couldn't he do this every other day? Why it took so long for him to do it? Football, as much as it is a game, it is so much. There's so much that coincides with it, with just real life. And you could put yourself in his shoes for a second and figure out that, you know, if you've ever done had a new job, something that you've done before, but you've never done on that level, or you've ever started a position where you just hadn't, you don't have the experience doing it on that level. You've done it before, but you've never done it to that level. I heard someone say that when you do that, you're basically an imposter when you started. You're not that thing. You know, like, it's almost like you all of a sudden get a promotion and all of a sudden you're the directing manager, right? You've been a manager for a while, but you've never been the directing manager before, where you have several managers under you. You've never done that before. You know, yes, there's a lot of things about your job that puts you, that makes you, you know, kind of tie in, or it ties into the job, the new job you have. But ultimately, you've never done that before, and you will struggle at being that thing, at doing that thing for a long time, because that's just not who you are now. It takes time for you to be that thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm not in any way trying to insinuate that all of a sudden Zach Wilson is some kind of NFL starter. I have made it very, very clear what Zach Wilson is in the NFL. He's a backup quarterback. He needs to play like one. And he has the talent to do it. That's the thing. The issue has been, this season, actually, he's been okay. You go back and look at the numbers. The problem is the supporting cast needs to rise up and raise him to the level that he needs to be in. Because when you're a starter in the NFL, you raise the supporting cast up. When you're a backup, the supporting cast raises you up. That's the difference, in my opinion. This is my humble opinion.
Yeah, that's part of it for sure.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that, of course, like I said, that's not the end all be all of the situation. Right. But I think that's a big part of what makes you a backup quarterback. You have the skills, but you struggle to execute like a starter does. So it takes the tight ends and the running backs and the offensive linemen around you to kind of fill in the space between where you are and where the starter is to kind of bring you up. But because you cannot go there on your own. Or you could get there, but you get there way too little. Like, not little, way too, what the word? Not often enough, you know?
Right. You're just not consistent enough.
Thank you very much. That's the word, consistent. You're not consistent enough in being able to get to that level. And everything I'm saying about Zach Wilson is true. There's nothing about it is a lie. He is capable of doing what he did on Sunday because he is that talented. Consistency is a problem. Decision-making is a problem, which ties into consistency. But all these things line up or are more favorable if the supporting cast show up. And that's what they did for him. Garrett Wilson has been playing well all season, but he met Zach where he was, or Zach met him where he was, because let's be real, Garrett Wilson has been Garrett Wilson all along.
Yeah.
But Tyler Conklin raised his game up. Breece Hall raised his game up. So there were guys raising their game up to match what what's going on with the kid, and that's brought him up to where he was. It wasn't just, it wasn't the play calling, guys. It was not. If you watch the film, it's just not. It's the same play calls, the same thing. I think when plays work out, when a drive works out, everybody goes, well, the play calling was beautiful. Very small nuanced things make that drive complete, because you will have a third and three, and then false start, and all of a sudden, you know, you're third and eight. Then what?
Right.
Everything falls apart. All the continuity that makes the drive work, it falls apart, and it's hard to pick it back up. But in this game, there was a lot of continuity. There was a ton of guys making plays repeatedly on the offensive line, the running back, the wide receivers, the tight ends, making plays that literally took his game, Zach Wilson's game, up a notch. And we got to see it for one Sunday. And listen, as Jets fans, we don't get to celebrate a lot of things. We don't get to see a lot of things. Celebrate this one.
I also want to add something too with Zach Wilson. Like, maybe he's finally starting to grasp the offense a lot better, right? Because this offense is based on timing, something that he's not exactly great with, right? Especially through college, he wasn't a timing quarterback there. So maybe he's just starting to grasp this offense more than he was early in the season, because he wasn't like, you know, they were saying he's going to be redshirted this year. He's not going to play. He's going to learn from Rodgers, all that. And he was just thrown into the starting spot from week one. But maybe he's just starting to get comfortable in the offense, you know, and plus.
Well, I will, before you move on, I want to attack what you're saying there. I guess I could support it more than attack it. I'll support what you're saying a little bit. Because when a system or a scheme or an offense, in my opinion, what that is not just the plays on the card or the plays that are called. You need the mannerisms or the idea of what that offense is supposed to be. Because if that offense, like, there's a reason, again, going back to the play that Hackett's been calling multiple times all season in four verts. Four verts is an incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for? Aggressive play. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're telling me by calling that play that many times, or at least once or twice each game, you're telling me that this offensive system or this offense on the whole is an aggressive type offense, right? So to be able to play this offense where the way the person that built it is, which again, think about it, the people that built that offense is Hackett and Rodgers. Who is Rodgers? An incredibly aggressive quarterback. And the reason why he could be so aggressive is because he is one of the best throwers of the football we've ever seen. You understand? So to match that, you have to be aggressive. The problem with Zach is the overthinking that slows his processes down has been the reason why he looks like he's walking in mud all the time. And that's why he takes the sacks that he does. And that's the reason why he starts, you know, he overthinks everything.
Yeah, you can't.
And for the and this past Sunday, he matched the aggressive sense of the defense for the offense for the first time. And guess where he took him?
Right.
For him to survive in that offense, he needs to be aggressive. And being aggressive, like you said, that is, if I agree with what you're saying, if that's what you meant, that he's getting what it means to run this offense. Not just grasping the plays and the concepts and where the ball is supposed to go, but also the idea of what it stands for. It's an aggressive type offense. And if you want to play in it, you got to be aggressive.
Right. But you also got to know what you're doing and where you're throwing.
Oh, yeah.
And you also got to have confidence in that, too. And I maybe in the beginning, and I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy, because this is year three for him. It's not like he's a rookie. That's where it gets kind of cloudy, because, you know, this is his third season. And we could say whatever we want about his first two seasons and whatever, but this is his third NFL season. It shouldn't take you, you know, week 14 to start feeling comfortable in an offense that, listen, he's been learning it since what, April, May?
Yeah. Right?
He's had it down, but so I don't think it should have took him 14 weeks to feel comfortable, to feel more confident, and to grasp this offense and to be more aggressive and all that. That's where I kind of feel like, all right, maybe that's not the right answer, but that's the answer what I'm going to guess at, because we'll have to see, right? The next 3-4 games.
Yep.
Well, he plays. Like, if he plays like this the rest of the year, then you're like, wow, then it changes the narrative a little bit. There's no more.
Yeah.
There's no more. Can he be the backup? I think he could be the starter. Right.
But the question, though, who ultimately the question is, who is Zach Wilson?
Right.
Right.
And we'll find
before
out.
Zach, because this is what I'm trying to say. Right. If this guy rewrites who he is in my book and in most fans' books, that's to me on another level. And I'm not even willing to go down that road. For me and for most of us Jets fans, Zach Wilson is a middling backup NFL quarterback. Replaceable. The problem with that is when you pay attention to the skills set, the skill set of the player, and forget his name for a second, and just look at the skill set. If I told you at an incredibly elite level athlete at the quarterbacks, because let's be real, the throws that this man could make, there's not too many NFL quarterbacks that could do that. So am I lying when I tell you he's an elite athlete?
No.
Exactly. So he's an elite level athlete at quarterback, right?
Yeah,
he has when it comes to throwing the ball, the kid is damn near elite at throwing the ball, just throwing it. I'm not saying, because if you, the compactness of his throw, how he could get the kind of
listen, the physical tools are there.
Thank you. Thank you. Right. So that's the thing, right? The issue has always been the connection. And I think I said it a few podcast episodes ago, being able to bridge the gap between that physical prowess and what's going on the field. In my opinion, if anything plays best to him, it's because he always touts himself as a gunslinger. What is a gunslinger? Aggressive quarterback play. If you put the talents of Zach Wilson and the mentality of an aggressive player together, you get a really good quarterback. The problem is the consistency of it. And for where he is right now, consistency does not exist for him. So that's why I've been saying over and over again that the supporting cast need to raise him up, because he does not have to be starter level. All Zach Wilson needs to be is a backup level quarterback in the NFL. Score a touchdown here, drive enough to get a few field goals here and there, and this defense, it will do the rest, which is where we should go next, because we've spoken enough about Zach Wilson, given him his flowers, and we should give flowers to the cornerbacks and linebackers and safeties and defensive linemen of the New York Jets. I don't care what anybody says, man. This was one of the best performances I've seen on defense in a long time, especially by the corners.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. But also, it kind of helped when their best wide receiver was out, Tank Dell.
Agreed.
And then Nico
Agreed.
Collins went down.
He went down. It's true.
So their top two guys, and then eventually, of course, Stroud went out, but that was late, you know, in the game. But
yeah. I agree. I agree with what you're saying, man. I totally agree.
They still played great. I'm not saying they didn't play great, but we got to also put it into context of what happened. I mean, we're going to be put to the test defensively, obviously, this week coming up when we play Miami.
Yeah, because the last time they played us, they beat the crap out of us. Yeah,
right.
That's true. But in reality, Chris, they have the numbers to back it up.
Yeah, no doubt.
The Jets' defense against the run is probably not where we think it should be. It's been bad, right? But when it comes to pass defense, they're one of the best pass defense in the NFL. Top five.
Yeah, easily.
Easily. The corners in the Jets' corners are the best corners in the NFL. All three of them in my opinion, are in the top 10, top 12 corners in the NFL. Easy.
Yeah.
You know. So the in my opinion, as much as you're right that the top wide receivers for Texas was out, I think what mattered the most about the play is the fact that they took the quarterback out of the game. There is something about this kid, right, Stroud, that makes him special. One of the things that make him special is the fact that he could, like I said before when I was talking about Zach Wilson, is he takes the play of his fellow man and raises it up to his level. The Jets stopped that on two fronts. I thought the pass rush was not as good as they could have been. But if you paid attention to Stroud, he had nowhere to go with that ball.
No.
He couldn't throw the ball. He was in the like tap, 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 tap. Oh my God, I gotta get out of here. Oh, tap, 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 tap. Oh, nope, nothing. Over and over and over. The coverage was stifling. The technique was incredibly sound. These guys are so fluent in the language of coverage. It's kind of scary how good they are sometimes. When you watch DJ Reed play and you watch Sauce play and you watch MC Michael Carter do it, I mean, oh, man, it's so good. And this is not the first game they've done this.
Right.
But it was the most complete of them all, in my opinion.
Definitely. And this week, like you said, we could talk about this week's game coming up, Jets at Miami.
Yes.
It's going to be big because just to look back quickly, we were going to talk about Tennessee-Miami. We could talk about it now to kind of preview this game. Listen, that showed you the Tennessee-Miami game, I think for me, showed you that Miami's defense still is not, I don't want to say an unfinished product, but it's just not that good. I mean, they gave up over 300 yards to Will Levis.
Yeah.
And on the offensive side, it shows you once Tyreek Hill went down, that's a totally different offense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He is a few notches above anything they have at the wide receiver.
I think mostly anybody. That's really what you think.
Well, that is true. You're right. He's ridiculous. It doesn't make any kind of sense. When this guy is playing, the way he plays football, it makes absolutely no sense. He runs like he doesn't. He's running like he doesn't have any pads on.
Right.
That's what he. And then he's running like he doesn't have the ball in his hand too either. It's just he moves so quickly. By the moment this man catches the ball and the moment he gets to running, it seems like it's a fluid motion. Like there's no half a second, quarter second, split second difference between when he caught the ball and when he started moving. And because of that, nobody reacts in time because they can't. And again, like I said, that I always said he's moving quickly. And then the fast happens where he's very fast. So he's not only quick where he starts moving before anybody else is moving, but then the burner start where he's fast and he's going, and he's putting up the deuces. You know, that's the crazy thing. That separates this guy. This guy is just. He's just a problem.
He's got speed on top of speed, Miami. Right? Waddle. Yeah. A-chain.
A-chain, yep.
Mostart is fast too. But the one thing whenever I see Tennessee play that type of game, it always reminds me that coaching is everything.
Yeah.
Not everything, but is
yep.
most important coaching. Coaching is most important in the NFL by far than in any other sport.
Yeah, because it's one of the more complete team sports in the world. Right. That's why coaching matters so much.
Tennessee without Grable is not a very good team.
Nope.
He makes that team. And it's every year. Every year, that team, they might not make it to the Super Bowl. They might not make it far in the playoffs. But that team is always a tough game, no matter who they got, no matter who they got quarterbacking. Remember last year they had... towards the end of the season, they had their backup. And they were still tight games. They were just, you know, they might not have won those games, but they were just tight every single time. And this year, rookie quarterback, second rounder, right? This guy fell throughout the whole first round. Nobody thought this guy was going to be a good quarterback. And look at him. He looks pretty good.
Yeah, he definitely, I'm not here to like crown him yet.
No, I'm not.
I still think there's a ton of deficiencies in his game.
Yeah.
But he is.
He's tough. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Well, he's that kind of guy. Basically, he fits. Perfect. He fits what that coaching staff is. That's you know when the coaches had input into drafting a guy when he basically kind of mirrors who they are. That's what Levis is, in my opinion. If he could just. Like, if he could just get the whole, you know, don't turn the ball over that much, and then he has the arm, you know he does, you know. And of course, they run the ball and play that physical-type offense that they do. They could pose problems for them. The problem is, how many games will you be able to get that out of Will Levis? That's the question. Exactly. You know, because that we as Jets fans know more than we're very intimate with how bad quarterback play could, you know, dirty your plans for your NFL season. So, right. I'm Tennessee showed me something, but I think to kind of draw a little bit of context from that game, one of Tennessee's strength is their front seven on defense. Their front line, their defensive tackles are incredible. Simmons is a beast. And you take the kind of injuries that Miami had on their offensive line and how bad it is, that is a recipe for disaster when you have a quarterback I am having a bad day. Tua. You have a quarterback like Tua, you need to protect him, and they could not. They could not protect him, and once he gets pressured,
the center is out for the year.
Yeah, I saw that. And once you can't give him any protection, that's what happens. That's what happens with Miami, and that kind of just blows that offense out of the water. But I think even on a bigger scale, right? That to me, that's just part of it. On a bigger scale, you got to ask yourself, what about this team? Seem to have them play to the level of their opponent instead of them playing high, because that's a thing now. Because for the last couple of years, from last year, they did it a couple of times. This year, they've done it a couple of times the same way, where they go to these teams that on paper, if you pay attention, Miami is a way better team than the Titans. The Titans had no business playing on the level of Miami. But there's something about Miami where Miami basically plays to the level of their opponent. If they're playing a good team, you know, on another level. Yeah, I'll put it on another level, because if you think about it, right, it's almost like they get full of themselves, because this is one of the it just occurred to me, the whole thing about the Bills game, right? after that, the Bills game was after they beat up on the Broncos, right?
Listen, Miami has not beaten a good team yet.
That's what I was just about to say. But they went to play. How do you put 70 points on a team and then go and like kind of almost lay an egg the next week? Right. That's what is that?
Something's
that,
up.
That's what. Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't know what. I don't trust Miami going into the playoffs because, you know, they listen, they're probably going to beat us this week, but that's not exactly a tall task. But then, you know what? Their last three games, they got Dallas at home, at Baltimore, and then home against Buffalo. That's three ridiculously hard games, especially for them, because they haven't beaten a good team yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And they so now you're telling me you're asking them to beat that many good teams back to back to back?
I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it. You're right.
Think about it. They've beaten no good teams, but they've lost to good teams. They've lost to Buffalo. They lost to Philly. They lost to Kansas City. And now they lost to Tennessee. And their wins are not impressive. Washington, the Jets, Vegas, New England, Carolina, the Giants.
That's basically the who's who of the NFL basement.
Right. They beat Denver, but they beat them week three. So that was when Denver was still – they beat New England week two, and then they beat the Chargers on opening day.
Yeah.
And that was a back-and-forth game. So, yeah. So I don't know what Miami is. Miami's 9-4, but what are they? Are they a team that you're like, oh, this is a Super Bowl – this is a possible Super Bowl team? I don't think so. And they're not going into Baltimore. There's no way this team is going into Baltimore and beating them – whether it's the second to last week of the season or in a couple of weeks when we get to the playoffs. At least I don't think so. That's my opinion. I don't see them beating Baltimore in Baltimore.
No, but we got to talk about Baltimore too. We'll talk about them very soon. But yeah, I definitely don't see that happening.
So, all right. So let's quickly, what do you think about our Jet-Dolphin game?
This is my thing, right? The Jets offense gave the Jets team no chance to win that game when they played them the last time because they consistently went three and out too many times. And then there was the piling up of mistakes. The pre-snap penalties were a big deal. Putting an already struggling offense into an even worse situation. Combine all of that together. I think the defense had a bad day too. You put all that together and it was just a bad day. I don't think that's how it's going to turn out. I don't think they're going to blow the Jets out, but
yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say the Jets win, and I'm going to say this and I'll tell you why I think the Jets win. Because for the reason why I'm not saying this just because of Zach Wilson's performance. The Dolphins is a wounded animal. But like you said, normal wounded animals, when you corner them, that's when they're the most dangerous. The problem is the Miami Dolphins have not been a normal wounded animal. It's almost like they're willing to die. It's like they go in, they're like, you know, there's no edge to them. You know what I mean? There's no edge to them. That's the thing. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, and to make it worse, now they're having problems where they shouldn't be. Where now you don't have you have a massive question mark on your offensive line. And you just happen to be playing one of the better defensive fronts in the NFL. Wouldn't that cause you problems? I don't care how bad the Jets are. That gives them a chance to win this game. So I'm not gonna the only reason why I believe the Jets have a chance, in my opinion, is because I just don't believe in Miami enough to think that they could beat a team that's lesser than them under the circumstances where they're limping into the playoffs.
Right.
I don't believe in it. I think the Jets have a chance to win here.
I think so too, but I think at the end of the day, I think they'll win. Miami. I just think Yeah, I just think the offense eventually will pull away somehow. Unless the only way maybe Tyreek Hill doesn't play, then maybe
yeah,
I would.
Because he would. Yeah, because he's not 100%, right?
That guy, he changes everything for the Dolphins.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
Without him, he's they're definitely not a very good team. You know, they're a good team, I guess. But without him, no. With him, yes, very good team, because we've seen him just take over. But so we'll see. I think it's going to be a close game, but I don't know if we're going to win. But so, all right, before we get to week 15, let's get into some of these week 14 games quick. Cleveland, Cleveland, 31-27 over Jacksonville. Cleveland with our old pal Joe Flacco leading the way.
Yeah,
they look pretty good.
Well, we know what they are. They are a defensive-led team.
Yeah,
and all they need is a quarterback that could give them a few plays here and there to sustain that defense, and that's it. They could match any wide receiver crew. They could match any offensive line crew, because they could stop the run. They could rush the passer. They could do what they were just good on defense. I'm sorry, they're incredible. And if once that offense gives them points, and then you just ask that defense to like pin their ears back, you got a problem on your hands. And that's what Joe Flacco did for them. He played vintage Joe Flacco football, made some incredible plays, made some incredibly boneheaded throws. But ultimately, giving the team a chance to play, and that's why that's what they need. They need better quarterback play. If they do have that, they'll always have a chance to win. So I wasn't surprised with the way he played that they actually won that game.
Remember, they're doing it without their star running back too this whole season.
Yeah, but well, Hunt is not, again, we know who Kareem Hunt is, not someone to be slept on now. I know that there is not this huge chasm between the star running back for the Browns and their backup running back. It's not that far apart.
Well, what's his name? Jerome Ford is really the main guy.
Thank you very much. I was just about to say, Ford is also a problem.
Yeah.
Ford is a problem.
I think more so than Hunt right now.
Because to me, Hunt is still the physical battering ram that he is. And you combine that with the slashing ability of Ford, who himself could be physical. These things will never end in the NFL. If you could run the ball and play defense, you're always going to have a chance in the NFL.
Yep.
And they could do that. They just need a quarterback to play sound football, and Joe Flacco gave them that for a day.
Definitely. And we got to say, Jacksonville is going the other way here.
Yes.
And they might lose their division lead after this week. I mean, they're 8-5. You got Indy at 7-6. You got Houston at 7-6. Tennessee's still not really totally out of it yet at 5-8. So, yeah.
I was surprised that Lawrence played.
Yeah.
I was very surprised that he played. But he's a pretty tough guy, man. This is not a good injury. That injury is crazy. For him to come back and play the way he played too is crazy. But they're missing so many important pieces to their puzzles right now that I like you said, I just think they're gonna keep going back, going down.
Definitely. In overtime, we'll go to the next game. Baltimore beats the Rams 37-31. Rams almost gets the upset here. And it took a punt return by Tylan Wallace. 76 yards for the touchdown to win it for them in overtime.
I text Chris during that game, yep, that the Rams just lost their chance to win this game. And the moment I text him that, the punch return happened.
Yeah.
Because the Rams, it's crazy, right? I will go out on a limb and say the Rams are way further ahead than anybody thought they would be. For them to play with the Ravens the way they did, Nobody expected that. They, what? That's one of the best teams in the NFL. And you're supposed to be a basement dweller. How are you matching these guys? I'll tell you how they did it. They could play offense. They could run the ball. In the first quarter, they were running the ball on one on the best run-stopping defense in the NFL. Why they were doing this? This is all coaching. This is all schemed runs because of their coach's understanding of how the Ravens play defense. The moment the Ravens was like, wait, what? Like, no, we could do different stuff now. You know what we like to do, but we could also show you this. And they didn't have no answer for it. That's when you knew, you know, you're like, hey, man, this is kind of a, you know, we're not going to be able to run the ball 9 times against that team and win. It's impossible. We did it a little, you know, we did it in the first quarter. It's funny, but it's not going to keep happening. The craziest thing for me was that they matched them. It's because of the quarterback and how he has so much trust in those young players on offense. Their best wide receiver is Puka Nacua right now because what's his name? Their star wide receiver. He might be on the field, but I don't think he's 100% yet. But he did perform very well. But you could see, in my opinion, if you paid attention to how he's playing, I don't think he's 100% yet himself.
This
so
is the fourth game back, I think.
He's not there. But you have all these young players whose names I don't even know that just showed up and started playing good football for them. That really impressed me. But ultimately, we cannot go past this game if we don't talk about the fact that if you paid attention to this game, Chris, if you tell coming out of this game still talking about how Lamar Jackson can't throw the ball from the pocket, quit watching football because you don't understand what you're watching. This dude had an 11-play drive at one point where it was literally dink and dunk. This is what we asked of him, no?
Yeah.
He gave it to you. He did not go for the flat passes, the yak throws. No, he was getting 4 yards, 5 yards, 7 yards, 4 yards, 8 yards, 10 yards. And then boom, touchdown over their heads. This is what we call quarterbacking. This is what we've been begging Lamar Jackson to do. This is the Lamar Jackson that we thought after the MVP year, that's what we thought we were getting. Because if you could get a quarterback to sit in the pocket and do what he did for that drive, right? And on top of that, when he does not have that, he could find a crease and go hit his head on the goalpost 80 yards down the field. Yeah, you ain't stopping that. Nope. There's not too many defenses you could do to stop anything like that.
And he's also running the ball more. As the season's gone on, I think he's starting to run more like the old Lamar Jackson, which is good and bad. It's good because he could still run the ball, obviously. He's still got the moves. But it's also going
to
put him out there
for a month.
Right, which has been injured the last couple of seasons. So it's good and bad. Like you said, he's improved his throwing the ball, and he's a thrower now. He's not just, you know, Lamar Jackson, the runner. He could actually beat you with his arm now, not just his legs. But yeah, I do see him running more the last couple of weeks. So
yeah, he's running. I don't know if I'll go as far as saying that he's running more. I think he's taking what defenses are giving him, because teams are starting to realize that this man could actually, like I said, be a pocket passer. So they're taking away certain reads from him. So if you're going to take those reads out from me, that means you're robbing yourself of a man down in the you know, on the line, on the front seven. If you're going to do that, I'm going to take the run.
And you know what? And I think the Ravens got to run the ball more, because their run game has not been great either, other than Lamar.
Yeah. Yeah, because they lose their running back?
One of them, yeah. But
yes,
they still got Gus Edwards.
Yeah, but Gus Edwards, again, Gus Edwards is a in my opinion, a complimentary type running back. He right. needs that second guy with him. And I think they're really missing that guy, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But that team, man, we're going to be watching some good football. If they stay healthy, we're going to be watching some good football coming down.
Stay healthy. That's, yeah. That's the team to me now in the AFC.
Yes.
Forget about Kansas City. Forget about Miami. I think Buffalo, I mean, Baltimore right now is the team. But just saying Buffalo quickly, but Buffalo is also a team that if they could play like they did this past week, that's a team you got to watch out for the rest of the way. You know, tough victory right now, right there on the road in Kansas City. I know they gave up the play that, you know, they called offsides on and that, you know, the touchdown was called back and all that. But Buffalo, this is a game that Buffalo was probably going to lose a couple of weeks ago because they were reeling a couple of weeks ago. But now, if they could continue this going forward, that's a team that's going to be dangerous going into the playoffs.
My question for Buffalo is this. Like I always say, yes, they're capable of doing this. This is not a surprise to me. Is this a surprise to you? That Buffalo could play good football like that?
Well, after what they look like this season, I would say it was a little surprising because they have not played this good all year.
Listen, I'm going to put it to you this way. I understand your stance, but my stance with Buffalo is the normal Buffalo is the team that could play football like that. They're always capable of playing football like that. The problem is they're also capable of playing the type of football that we saw them play before that. That makes everybody nervous about who they are and where they're going. That's the problem with the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
They're supposed to be one of the best teams in the NFL. What separates those teams from the rest of the NFL is that they're consistently better than most of the teams they play. The problem with Buffalo is they're not consistently better than most of the teams they play on any given Sunday. That's the problem with Buffalo. And that inconsistency, I will say it again, that inconsistency, in my opinion, falls on the fact that that team is not balanced enough on offense. It's not. If you're not a balanced team on offense, yes, because of the kind of quarterback you have that could make the kind of plays that he makes, yes, you will have some days where you look great. But you will also have some days where your quarterback, who is prone to make mistakes, because he is not too far behind the lead in turnovers in the NFL. Once you have that guy, this is what you have. You have an inconsistent, great team. It's sad to say, but that's what they are, man. And until they could put a few games together, in my opinion, especially going into the playoffs, I think they should make their mark and remind teams who they are coming into the end of the season right now, going into the playoffs. If they can't, then I don't think they're spending too long in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm saying. That's why if they keep playing like they did this week, that type of win, that's the type of win that they are capable of doing. But like you said, they're capable of going the other way too. But now is the time, like the last three games, four games of the season, this is when you want to see that type of game from a team. You don't want to see a team like Kansas City losing at home in a tough game like this. And after the game, you got your quarterback, you know, crying that you got a bad call. But meanwhile, let's be honest, Kansas City gets every call going their way. So for them to get one call against them, listen, I totally get it because they're used to getting all the calls. So when they don't get that call, yeah, it gets the call. So I get them crying. So I do.
I understand where you're coming from, but I think there's something else going on here. I think that Patrick Mahomes was mad at his wide receivers.
Yeah,
and he did not want to show them up. So he turned it on to the refs. And he did it. He took his acting a little too far, in my opinion, because this man has been class personified for most of the time he's played in the NFL. That was out of whack, in my opinion.
And he did apologize the next day.
Yeah, he did. He did. And that's why, in my opinion, that's why it feels like acting to me. Because if at the level that his wide receivers have let him down this season, the kind of mistakes they've made, the kind of drop balls, they're underperforming, I would be mad too. But if I could be mad and I don't want to be mad enough and turn it on my guys and turn it on the refs, because I could apologize to the refs and it'll be fine. If he did that to his wide receivers, he would never hit the end of it.
Yeah.
Never whatsoever.
Definitely.
You know. So you cannot, like, this thing is a joke. Like, there's no way you could defend Kadarius Toney in this situation. Not even a little bit.
No, it was clearly over the line.
The fact that the craziest thing is Dan Orlovsky had a video pointing out on his show, pointing out that the kid basically was offsides like four times the game. Huh? Ain't that what you do? You're a wide receiver, right?
You come to the line.
Exactly. This is basic crap. Didn't we have a wide receiver that couldn't line up? And then what do we do to him? You ship him out. Yeah. Exactly. I don't care how talented you are. If you don't know the basics of playing this position, yeah, no.
I wouldn't be shocked if he's not on this team next season.
No, I wouldn't. I don't care how talented he is. Bro, when you got it. And he's like, well, people are making excuses for this dude and saying, oh, he did check. I saw the video. The dude didn't check. He pointed at the sideline judge. And then he switched his head forward. He didn't wait for the guy to tell him yes or no or give him a thumbs up or whatever. He pointed at him and then he just kept doing. Like, hey, number one, you're supposed to look for where the ball is. That's what gives you the indication of where you should be lining up. He never looked at the ball once because he would have seen that he is looking directly into the center. You have to be way ahead so you could see your center.
It's up.
Exactly.
Seems pretty easy. This is like football 101, you know, as a watch.
Thank you. Yeah, you doing that stuff in high school. You know, in high school you do that. You do that you're in the game in high school, you do that. Your coach come running on the field and smack you behind your head. You understand me? So anyway, yeah.
And we'll see if Kansas City plays New England this week, so we'll see if they'll come back. I would think they will.
Yeah, they got a freebie because the Patriots are sucks right now.
And there's also word with the Patriots real quick before we finish up week 14 that this is going to be the end of Bill Belichick. The report came out that this decision's already made. I kind of said this from the beginning that I thought this was last year. I don't think he wants to go through another rebuild. So it'll be interesting to see. For me, the only team that makes sense for him to take over, that he doesn't have to rebuild, that he's got a quarterback, is the Chargers. And the Chargers need something.
That is a beauty. In my opinion, that's a really good idea, man. Because if you're telling me there is no better team that needs something more than the Chargers, we don't even know what that thing is. Do you know what that thing is?
They need.
I know. I don't know. I've never heard anybody. I listen. There is a few. Exactly, Chris. That's the problem. Because as talented as this team is, does anyone have an answer to the reason why they struggle? Exactly.
I don't know.
No. It's the same question as who built the pyramids. Nobody knows. I don't know. What's going on?
I don't know.
We saw it. We seen it. because they have these big name players all over the field.
You know what they need? They need a general to lead them.
Thank you. Maybe that's what they need. Maybe he could figure it out. He's one of the best coaches to ever do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a great idea.
We'll see. All right, last game, Philly, Dallas. Supposed to be game of the week. It didn't turn out that way. Dallas won big, 33-13. Before you get into it, the one thing I did, I was watching one of the pregame shows. I think it was the ESPN one. And they were talking about Philly, about their problems on defense, at least. On defense, they said they don't disguise their defense very well compared to especially last season. Last season, they almost broke the record for most sacks in a season by a team. This season, they're not getting to the quarterback as much. Offenses are going up and down the field on them. So maybe it does make sense that they're not disguising that defense. So what do you
think? I think they're not disguising the defense because they just don't have the talent to do it. For you to disguise defenses, you have to have guys that have an incredibly high understanding of where they're supposed to be and how. Not only that, you have to have a group of guys that are very knowledgeable of each other's skill set and are willing to communicate and kind of mesh their skill set with the others. That is special. That there's a reason why these defenses come along once in every how many years. And yes, they had a hell of a year last year. But coming down the pipeline, yes, last year, there was a lot of noise around, like a whisper, or there were whispers of the fact that defense was just not what we thought it was. And it's crazy that you're watching a year later and you're seeing it turn into what it is now. I think in a lot of ways it's being exposed. For what it really is. We knew. I think that was just a bad matchup for the Eagles right now. Dak Prescott is playing the best football of his life. The Dallas Cowboys are incredibly talented on offense. You put that together against a struggling defense, and this is what you get. I think what also helped was the fact that the Eagles' offense was not. They were not there. They weren't themselves. That fumble early in the game, I think it was an indication, in my opinion, of basically where they at on offense. But they're just not where they want to be.
I think they had three fumbles.
I was just about to say, they just a lot of miscues, a lot of missed opportunities. There's a lot of bad things happening, and this is the crazy thing about football. It's one of the reasons why I love it. There's a lot of things about it that feels like golf to me, because if you've ever played an 18-hole golf, if you've ever played golf on an 18-hole course. And you were like me, where you don't have a high remarkable handicap. I could swing any club once, twice, or three times, and like hit a really sweet shot. The problem is I'll have three or four really good drives, and then or a few hits. I'll get into the green. I'll putt. I'll make a few. And then I'll get into like three or four holes where it's almost like I don't even know how to hit the ball at all. and to me, this is what it seems like with the Eagles and their offense. It's almost like they forgot how to play offense. Everybody's making mistakes offensive linemen. They're some of the most senior guys on that team, no? They shouldn't be making mistakes, pre-snap penalties and all that stuff. That shouldn't be happening to them.
And I think offensively, their offense has gotten kind of, I don't know, just plain. Like there's no imagination behind their offensive play calling now. You know, you got a different OC. And, you know, we were talking about them early in the season. Like you're waiting for the OC to mesh with the quarterback and get into some kind of rhythm. And I don't think they've found it yet. And I thought it would eventually get there because they know each other. It's not like these guys are, you know, they just got to know each other this year. They've known each other for years. So
yeah, but is the scheme? The question is, the scheme the same? And I haven't studied them enough to even find the similarities in what they did last year or the year before, you know, and what they do now, you know. I'll tell you one thing that stands out to me though. They haven't been able to run the ball like they did before. And again, what did I say when I spoke about the Bills? If you don't have a balanced offense, you have no offense. That's, in my opinion, that's the problem. So, you know, that's the thing with them right now. So,
All right, let's get into week 15 games before we go. Denver, a lot of these games, or a couple of these games, we weren't really circling on the calendar here, but Denver at Detroit becomes a big game now. Denver is super hot right now. They're coming into this week. And Detroit going the other way. Detroit, like, we're trying to figure them out, right? Denver's now 7-6 after starting, 1-5 or whatever it was. And now Detroit 9-4, still probably going to win their division, but they don't look good.
Yeah, they don't. And we know that defense is just not up to snuff, right? They struggle rushing the passer. They have the one guy that does it really well, and that's it. Some of their guys were injured. They're still not 100%. You see, they're not really playing in the front seven well. You could take advantage of their defense in the back end because they're just not talented back there. You know that's the truth. The problem on offense is again there's the streakiness to that offense. All of a sudden, this is not that off. Last year there was none of that. There was kind of a smoothness to how they played, in my opinion. Every Sunday it was almost like you could count on them doing this or being this, and it was a steady line drawn from game to game through that offense, and unfortunately they've lost that. In my opinion, the play calling is still the same. Their skilled players are still making the same plays. I don't know what it is, man. I don't know if running the football right now they're struggling with, if that's the issue. There's something to be, you know, dug, you know, dig in and trying to find out what the whole issue is. Maybe you could say complimentary football, because they're just not playing that right now.
Also, too,
maybe that's the issue.
Side note, not that it has anything to do with it, Jared Goff only has one more year left on his contract.
Yeah.
So this
offseason, I don't think they're going to move him. I really don't.
I don't think so either. I think you got to keep him because what's your other option?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's quite an option too. Let's be real now. You got to give Jared Goff his flowers. Jared Goff is probably, you want to say that Jared Goff is not one of the top 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks in the NFL, but he ain't that far behind him now.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember, they did draft Hendon Hooker, that kid from Tennessee. Was that last year? Remember he was hurt?
Yes.
Right at the end of the college. So
yeah,
I'm sure he's not 100% yet. So maybe they do.
Yeah. So they don't. So they don't. They probably don't even know what they have.
Right.
He was injured the whole time. He's not. You know. He hasn't really. You know. This offseason, maybe they dig into that and find out exactly who this kid is and, you know, what they have in him. But
I still don't think they'll move Goff. But I think
no.
You know. Maybe they think, okay, maybe in another year he's ready. So maybe they keep Goff for one more year, you know, and don't sign him to an extension, and you let him go, and then they bring in Hooker for 2025, I guess.
Yeah.
See about that. And another game. There's another one. A couple of weeks ago, I was like, not a big game, but Houston at Tennessee all of a sudden becomes a big game.
Yeah.
we beat Houston, obviously. So they're kind of, you know, they had a chance to tie Jacksonville for the divisional lead in the South. So the South is 8-5 Jacksonville, Indy 7-6, Houston 7-6, and then Tennessee 5-8. So if Tennessee could win this game, they're back in it. And remember, CJ Stroud probably not going to play this week because of the concussion.
Is he still in concussion protocol? I didn't even check.
Yeah, usually quarterback, I think they said most quarterbacks don't come back after a week, or any player, if they're in concussion protocol.
So that's, I remember that. You're right. You're right. So, yeah. So, yeah, they have a major issue on their hands. This is crazy, man. They're talented. They're a talented team, but the injuries all of a sudden starting to add up and kind of rob them of their chances, their chance to, you know, make a run. It would have, I definitely wouldn't have liked to see them beat the Jets, but it would have been sweet to see that kind of Cinderella story of the Texans keep going on.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Tennessee, on the other hand, and we spoke about Tennessee earlier, you know where I stand on that. They're always going to be in the hunt because of the kind of football they play.
Absolutely. Like I said, coaching, they're the perfect example of why coaching is so important in the NFL. And this is probably going to be the big game of the week, I think. Dallas at Buffalo.
Yeah. What did we see? Dallas is an offensive juggernaut that could play defense, but you got to be they play defense even better when their team's on when they have a lead. And when your offense is playing as well as their offense is playing right now, that's what happens. You know, that's the deal right now. They're living a life of luxury right now. Buffalo is, I don't know which Buffalo shows up.
Right.
I have no idea which Josh Allen shows up, the one that throws interceptions or the one that makes the big throws. We don't know. That it's going to be an interesting game to watch.
Yep. I agree. Another one, Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. This has a lot of playoff implications on it. That's why it's going to be a really interesting game. I just don't know what Pittsburgh is going to be able to do offensively. So far, not much, to be honest. And they're not going to win many games the way they're playing offensively. And is TJ Watt playing?
I haven't seen anything that indicated that he is. I could be wrong, but I have not seen anything. And yeah, this guy is a game changer.
It's interesting because Roethlisberger came out, I think it was today, saying that the Steeler tradition might be done. And
oh my.
Yeah, I mean, he's
hearing something.
Yeah, that's not good. So this, they don't change coaches often, right? They've had four coaches now, I think, in their, right? I think they've
They don't.
I think four different coaches in the last 40 years, 50 years.
Yeah, every coach coached for over 16 years, whatever the hell it is. I don't know what the number is, but yeah. Yeah, they don't change their coaches. I don't think that this is a crazy thing, man. Would you let him go?
I think he's a great coach. You know, I have no problem with Mike Tomlin, obviously. I think he's a great coach. but we've seen it. Sometimes it's just time. Right, maybe it's time for him to go. I don't know.
I
mean,
I don't know. Yeah,
nobody was going to win with Kenny Pickett at quarterback or Mitchell Trubisky, right? I mean, who's going to win with those guys? And they've got 7 wins.
Yeah, so, the fact that they have 7 wins tells you how good of a coach he is.
Yeah, I'm not saying the coach is the problem whatsoever. I'm not saying that at all. Tomlin is one of the best coaches. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame whenever he's done. So he could basically write his own, you know, ticket on where he wants to go after this, if that's where they want to go. It's going to be interesting this offseason because, you know, They're 7-6. They are right there for the playoffs. I mean, so they could still get into the playoffs. This, you know, we're still talking about a team that's a playoff team, but I just don't know how far they're going to go, because with that offense scoring, you know, they're like us with the offense. That's basically what they are. And I don't think their defense is as good as our defense.
Yeah, they another part of their team that's pretty streaky. They play really streaky football.
Yeah, I mean, they are technically in the playoffs right now. If the season ended right now, they're in the playoffs.
A lot of those AFC North teams are in the playoffs, basically.
Right, Cleveland's in, Baltimore. Yeah. So this is interesting, you know. I mean, they do have the same record as Cincy. So actually, 6 teams have the same record, 7-6. But only two of those teams can be in the playoffs.
Yep.
And I know, and they're playing another team that's right now in the playoffs, Indianapolis, who I don't think any of us had Indianapolis going to the playoffs this year.
No, we did not. We did not. And we didn't have them playing such good football too either. Scrappy team, man. They play good football every Sunday. They come in, they fight tooth and nail from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, right? Yeah, but I think, you know, if you were asking them to beat a bunch of really good AFC teams, I just don't think they have it in them to do that. But it's an interesting watch, you know. Respect, a lot of respect for teams that play that way.
Because I could see the team that loses this game is probably not going to make the playoffs. You know, this might be their
most. Agreed.
And Pittsburgh, I don't know how good they're going to get offensively. Like, this is it, you know. Whoever quarterbacks, whether it's Pickett or Trubisky, I mean, what do you think you're getting? You know? So, and then the other big game, I think, is another game. Like I said, a game we didn't see really that was going to mean anything, but I think now it looks like it's going to mean a lot, is Tampa Bay at Green Bay. Both teams 6-7. When you look at the playoffs, right now Green Bay's in at 6-7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams are at 6-7. Only one of them is going to get in, but Minnesota's at 7-6 for the 2 spot. So, yeah, this game means a lot.
The Bucks is an interesting thing.
They're actually leading. At 6-7. I didn't think they were, but they were.
Yeah, I think they're leading their thing right now.
Yeah, 3 teams in the NFC South are at 6-7.
Yeah, but it's crazy, right? I think, in a lot of ways, the Bucs quarterback in what's his name again? Baker Mayfield is playing way better football this year than we all thought he was. We gotta admit that.
Yep.
The part of the team that's struggling that we thought would be better is their defense. That's the problem.
Especially their pass defense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, this is a Todd Bowles off defense. This is not what's supposed to happen, in my opinion. It'll be an interesting matchup, in my opinion, but this Green Bay should win this game.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see. There's a lot.
Hey, any given Sunday, my friend.
Oh, and we see it every single Sunday. We watch football. Something happens where you're like, any given Sunday.
What? What is this?
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah. The Tennessee Titans beat the Dolphins? How'd that happen? They came back from 14 points? What?
Yeah. So anyway, this is when the playoff positioning is so important to get in. Actually, you know, forget about positioning, just to get in to the playoffs. It's going to go right down to the last week, last game, probably. So many teams tied right now. So every week is going to be crazy down the stretch here the last month. But thank you for joining us, as usual, and we'll see you guys next week, and enjoy this Sunday football.
Yeah, take it easy, guys.